So today is 27, April 27, 2009, and we will continue our study on independent cohorizons. We have a few class on this. And interdependent cohorizons, one time when the Buddha teaches the independent cohorizons, and Ananda will make a remark, he said, "Oh, it's very easy to understand." Ananda, his attendant, he said, "Oh, it's very easy to understand. I understand it." And the Buddha, "Keep quiet." He don't try to, you know, to react right away. The Buddha is very calm and clear. And a while he quiet, and then he said, "Ananda, it seems like it's, the interdependent correspondence is easy to understand, but it's not. It's not. It's very deep and very profound teachings. It seems like we're making a list, but when we practice, we contemplate in that. And so we have to make an effort and put your heart into contemplations, not just to study the list, you know, and say ignorance, volitional actions, consciousness. You can say that, you repeat the list over and over again. But we're never able to permeate, just like rain. Permeates the two meaning or the two the taste of it. So the Buddha said, if we just repeat it, we just like swallow the saliva of some, the mucus of someone else. Yes, the mucus. So we have to be creative, talented in our practice. And if we have creative and talented in our contemplating the 12, and then we are not swallows the mucus of other people. The same practice. So if we're creative, then we are. It's the teaching become alive, life. Otherwise, the teachings can be dead. No, it's going to be very dead. If we just, because this teaching has been 2,500 years ago, and a lot of master teaching on this, not, but each one teaching a little bit the same, but depend on the insight, how deep the insight is. Yeah. So how deep the realizations of that teacher, and so that they can convey, make the teaching alive, make the teaching alive. So for example, you can see the leaf and you say the leaf, but if the realized teacher, they can see the look at the leaf, and they can see able to the 12 link in that. Into that. That's why we call self-realization Buddha in the, you know, there is a realization person that not at the Buddha's time. A lot of people realize or enlightened during the Buddha's time, but there is people that there is a time of no Dharma. Even the teaching of the Buddha not exists. Even the name of the Buddha not exists. So there is people who able to see the teaching through the leaf, because when they see the leaf fall down, fell, and then they realize the impermanence of the teaching. So that we call self-realization Buddha. Dukyak Phật, self-realization. So they just realize this themselves, and they don't care, they don't teach anybody. So self-realization Buddha. So last class we already go over everything. So today I try to draw it up so that you can see the connections of each link. This is not a straight line. You know, when we say, like for example, we make a list, like we say ignorance, volition, consciousness, mind, body, or name, and form. Six sense organs, contact, feelings, craving, craving, grasping, coming to be or becoming, birth, death, you can make a list and you can say it as a straight line. But when we draw like this, then it's easy to see how the connection is interdependent of each other. So ignorance is not by itself, but it's always interconnection. So you can draw one life, you know, like, for example, you can draw a line like this, right? You can see that this is a circle at the center, but you can see how ignorance relates to our feeling. Because when we are in ignorance, or we don't have a clear view of seeing life, then when feeling arises, then we become attached to the feeling, you see? Because it's lacking of light, or it's lacking the insight or understanding. So then, so you can see how ignorance leads to craving. Because craving. So we don't say that feeling or craving by itself, but it's always carries some others. And you can see how related they are. So ignorance relates to every single link here. So when we say ignorance, we don't say ignorance by itself, but at the same time, in craving, there is ignorance, but in ignorance, there is craving, because there is, we cannot see it. We lack the understanding of... So in ignorance, there is grasping, because we don't see ourselves as impermanent, and we are always attached to whatever that possesses our body and the things that we have around us. So when we draw a circle, we can see how, you see that here is linked, how it's linked to each other. So one contains all the others. Here you can see it, but you know, maybe ignorance ordinarily contains all of this. But at the same time, contact contains all the six senses. In order to contact, you have to have six senses, right? Or you have to have some kind of the form of the body. So contact contains all the 11 links. Feelings contain all of 11 links. So that's why we cannot separate by itself from one another. So keep that in mind. One contains all other links, the 11 links. So when you're able to practice mindfulness of your feeling, then you're able to mindfulness all of mindfulness contact, for example. So you're able, if you're able to practice one, you're able to practice the other. So that's why in Buddhism we say that if once you're able to realize one door, you open the other doors, all other doors. So you practice one of the six organs, then you practice all the six organs. So then people say that, oh, I, for example, you for like the five mindfulness, people say that, oh, I only take the first, you know, the fourth mindfulness, not one, two, three, four, but five, because alcoholic, I cannot keep it. But if you practice one, you practice all other five. But as a smart or a skillful teacher, they say, oh, you can accept four. But when they accept four, they will practice the other. So that's why Tai say that you can accept one or two. So once you practice one, you practice five. And but because we say that. So they are always interdependent to each other, not separate. We have a feeling that we are as a separate self, but not. So this is the samsara, vicious circle in this. So now our body, we have all this ignorance, we have volitional actions, mental energies. We have all this here. But at the same time, this is the negative aspects of the 12 link. So look in the outer circle, we have the positives. So ignorance, when it's transformed, it turns itself into clear insight. You see it here? So this is the outside circle, is representing something that is positive. Once ignorance transforms itself, it turns to insight or understanding. Transform itself. Once volition is turn itself or ease itself, stop it, and transform itself, and then it's turned into great aspiration. So it's all have a positive size, each one of us, of this. So that's why the Buddha say don't run away, just keep working. Because sometimes we have difficulty and we run away from our difficulty. That's we have a tendency. Everybody have that kind of tendencies. We have. So for example, you have boredom in your practice. You try to run away from your boredom. But the practice is not to run away from that, but to embrace and go back and work with it. So it's all I have. Each one of us have a positive side and a negative side, each one of them. And because last time, last several class, we have go detail in each one of us how to practice it. So I just today I just want to show you the picture, see how that interconnected, how relate each one of them. Because for example, four wisdom, we have go over very detail how to practice that four wisdoms, or the four immeasurable mind. So today is just a wrap up, so that. And if you have question, I think this book, the teacher of the heart of the Buddha's teaching, they have the picture in that. And I look at other books; they don't present the toilet in this way. But this way, I think it's in my understanding, I think it's more practical to the practice, because you know that in Buddhism, nothing is a waste. So this way is nothing is a waste, as long as you know how to, we know how to work with it. It's not a waste. So we present two sides of the power links. So anybody have any question on this one? If you have any question, because some of you skip a class, so it's hard to get the whole picture, because some other class, the previous class, we have to go detail in each one of these and how to practice and. But if you miss a class, or you can refer on this book or some other this book, I think there's a lot of teachings online too, so you can go online and tie in interdependent horizon, and it's a bunch of them. But I think it's depend on how they present it. Some present it very vaguely, and some present very clear. And so whichever that is, click you, so you can. Look into that, but I think the important is how to practice it, you know, because this is something Buddha says, something is not theoretical or theory, but it's applications. So there's some teaching that is very applicable for you, and show you a clear method. The important is how to know the way to get around this one, so that you can taste, you really taste the traveling. It's just like another aspect of the Four Noble Truth. It's very much linked into the 12 interdependence, the Four Noble Truth. Because in the Four Noble Truth, they present in the kind of like cause and effect. And this one later, we will also go into the kind of cause and effect, you know, which one is the cause and which one is the effect. And that's how the 12 interdependent, 12 links or interdependent horizons links to the Four Noble Truths. And the Buddha teachings, and this is the backbone of the, one of the backbone of the Buddhism, if you really study Buddhism. So this is a very, backbone is also very foundations of, later we move on to different teachings. So if you understand how interlinked this is, and later on we move to different teachings, you have the backgrounds of the foundation of this one. So everybody, so I will erase it if so please, you know, contemplate them in the aspects of interdependent, or interconnect or interrelates to each other. So you don't have to practice all. When you practice all, you can enter one of these gate, the door, then you can open the door of all others. Because it seems like it's a lot for practice, you know. But once you open the door, you just go in this door, and then you can look, go around, you see many doors in this house. That's the same thing. Yeah. Just open one door and you enter the house, and you see this something, you open this end, you open and you enter in here, inside here, so you can see everything. That's how the miracle of the teaching of the Buddha is. Once you realize one door. So that's why in Buddhism we have 84,000 gate method of practice. But you don't have to practice all 84,000 gate. Just one gate. And then once you open that one gate, Dharma door, you can open, you can enter any door, you can explain all the other doors. So that's the really effective way of the practice. So you either you can, you know, really penetrate this the 12 links, or you can penetrate the Four Noble Truths or the Eight Noble Paths, and you open over this door. So when you really understand one, you're able to explain all other. Because how it linked together. So that's why I discovered myself. And I think if it's the same to you, you really practice. For example, if you really contemplate about your feeling, and you saw how much that is related to contact. Because contact and feeling, is contact is the base of feeling, right? The base of feeling. Because in order to have feel, you have the contact, either physically or by through six organs, six sense organs. So really, contact is the base of feeling. And feeling very much create to relate to crave. See how relate they are, how much relate they are. Okay, please.
And I'm sorry I haven't been here for.
That's okay.
If I have a feeling, a strong feeling, and it's tossing me about,
mm-hmm.
and I realize the ignorance
mm-hmm.
in that feeling,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Can I get the clear understanding?
Clear understanding.
I'm trying to figure out how to get out of that middle loop.
Feeling the ignorance?
So if I know that the feeling has me just by the neck,
mm-hmm.
and I realize that I'm suffering because of my ignorance
mm-hmm.
at this point, because there's no light.
Mm-hmm, no light. Mm-hmm.
Will that help me in that realization to come to more clear understanding?
Sure, because when you know how your body feels, so that is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we feel, but we don't really feel our feeling, right?
Yeah.
So when we start that, you know the pain in your body. That is the first step. You know that already. So then you slowly, you have the light, initial light.
Okay.
Yeah, bare recognition. You know that you have the feelings of pain in your neck. So every move, you move, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you be careful, right?
Mm-hmm.
You become careful with your neck.
Mm-hmm.
That is because you know, you have the light of understanding. If I move my neck, it's too fast. So you have some insight ready,
mm-hmm.
yeah, for your pain. So then slowly you will embrace that. You say, I should, you know, not move too fast. If I move too fast, I might crack.
Yeah.
So insights there already generate. So slowly, and then you find it, you know, say, oh, then what should I do? You ask the next person, what should I do? You know, either I have some hot water, you know, because there is a stickness of energy here, so I should get some hot water or something so that to make this energy flow. So that's the second step. So the insights also arrive. So slowly you find out the way to cure that. So feel, and then you might attach to that. If there's so feeling is you feeling can be aversion or attached feeling. So you have to realize that how much you attach to that feeling. Even pain, sometimes you try to attach to that pain. So the moment you recognize this, you have already have insight, have light into that. So then you're able to find the cure, to cure yourself. If you are a mindfulness practitioner, then you're really mindful of the feeling in your neck. So from that, you create more, you will generate more insight, and you find a better way to cure.
And have you just, in effect, run problem through through the Four Noble Truths?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can use the Four Noble Truths, but sometimes you don't have to be very complicated. Sometimes very simple, because in Four Noble Truths, it's different, several process to go through it. But sometimes it's just merely or simply just recognize the problem. So you don't have to make yourself complicated, you know. And we can go different process. You can make it very, you know, we make step by step, and many steps to get into that. But there's some simple method that you just embrace and mindfulness and some simple action can help you to cure the problem. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So feelings always have some aversion feelings and some compassion feelings, for example. So feeling is not always negative feelings. For example, like a mother always have feeling for the children, but a feeling of love for the children. Not attached. There is some attachment there, always there. Mother and children always have some attachment in the feeling, but at least it's more, there is more feeling of compassion and toward the children and one something to better for the children, so feelings. But if you are enlightened being, you know what to, your feeling more is more unconditioned feelings. And if you have a conditioned feeling, then it's slowly leading to suffering, always leading to suffering. So feeling is not always negative. Mm-hmm. So don't run away your feeling as long as you are. As long as you have mindfulness into that, it silence into that. Okay, anybody have any question in this join? So before we move to the next join.
So there is a different way to look at the 12 thing also, you know, like a different scheme, a different principle. So one principle is they say they have past, present and future. Because this way we just divide it so we can look at it. But for me, I think it's one past contains the present, and at the same time it contains the future. But because we try to divide it in this way, so it's I think it's easy to understand.
So they say that So this one they say that belong to the past. So this is one way to present of the 12 links, past, present, and future, three times. So ignorance and volition belong to the past. So we say that in the past we have accumulated a lot of ignorance because of our actions. That's leading us into this presence. See, to have the form, to have the body, in the body we have consciousness, right? And we have the sixth sense, we have, in order this, we come into contact, feeling, craving, grasping, and becoming. So this is how our body was formed. And then later on, this future, birth and death, is the future. So I think it's this way to present us, to us, give us some understanding. But I think it's one contain all, because ignorance in the present also, you know. That's why sometimes we do stupid actions, we hurt ourselves. Yeah, right. Because we generate some unhealthy actions in the presence. For example, we somehow out anger, and we say something is very hurtful for ourselves. Right in the presence, right in the presence. Because of this, we have no light. We can see ourselves. We can see what the effects will be, because we overwhelmed by our anger. So it's effect of this. And the moment of birth, because we come to this world because of our ignorance, karma,
because of our volitional action. Volitional action, we can understand another aspect is karma, because action creates karma. Because of this, we come to birth. And because of this, we have created many, we have a healthy birth and unhealthy birth. For example, like children who are born with deformed body because of unhealthy actions, karma, unwholesome. And the moment of death, so it's like a vicious cycle. So the moment of death, because if ignorance is present, then we reborn, rebirth into the realm of unhealthy or unhappy. You see? So that one way of, one kind of principles or one kind of scheme that... So now we go into the cause and effect aspects, another way of presenting it, cause and effect. And you remember in the Four Noble Truths, you know, the first and second, right? The first is the what? The first noble truth, pain, suffering.
I'm suffering. That's the first. Oh,
yeah.
Wow, I'm suffering.
Okay.
You got that one.
So suffering or pain is the result. Is the result. And the cause, the making of suffering is the cause. So that's, you know, the first two number two, first and second number two. Pain or suffering is the result, but the making of suffering is the cause. So that's one pair, cause. And the third and the fourth is the cause. The third is the result. The fourth, the cause. The path leading to cessation. Cessation is the result, but the path leading to cessation is the result. You see? And that's how number two present cause and effects. But here we will also do the same here. And we see the interlink of both the 12 links and the four number two. So study and you remember that. Don't forget, okay?
We have a test.
Yeah, so I think one day I have to test you, mm-hmm. See what
then?
Is the cause and effect of the four noble truths, the first one, the second one, and test. Otherwise you forget, you know. And when you remember that, and when you remember that, and then it's easy to practice, you just, you know, bring up one, and you practice. That's why it's good things to memorize is to help you on the practice. So sometimes you got boring or impermanent, you just, I'm going to non-self. if you are boring of no self, you say, I'm going to emptiness. Yeah. It's always many different food for you to eat. Mm-hmm. Just like food. So now is we go into the other way of, different way of presenting the phonology. I will erase this. So today is a little bit of academic here. You know, sometimes we do a little bit of academics, and but sometimes we focus on more on the practice. But in order that, we have to have both. So the ignorance is the ignorant and volition. No, is the cost. Yeah, is the cost. The first level of the cost. Result. Yeah. This is the first level. The second level, I go a little bit opposite of the book, because we present every detail, you know, the practice now we go into. But in the books, they present this first. But one you understand is no first, no second. In the conventional way, we say first and second, but you know, ultimate, because so this is the first level of cause and effect, and this is the second level of cause and effect. Just like the four noble two, you know, the first and second noble two, cause and effect, and then this third and the fourth noble two, cause and effect. So when we have the big picture, we see how the teaching of the Buddha very interlaced. Later we might go into
the middle ways or some other higher teachings, you can see how much they are interrelated. So the importance of the 12 link is to help you to see the cause and effects and see your own suffering. And it's also helping when you see that, and then you have to, and then you see the way out of your own suffering. So the purpose of to present the 12 link in so that we can liberate ourselves or release ourselves from the suffering. That's all what the Buddha teaching, what the teaching of the Buddha is all about. It's all whatever he teaches is try to release our and to transform our suffering. So if we understand that, when then we have a good position of see the teaching of the Buddha. The purpose of his teaching, he say that I come to this world not to show you something is metaphysical, but to show you out of your own suffering. That's why I'm coming here. And it's the same thing when we present the traveling the same ways. It's not to present in an academic way or theory, but just present in a way that so that we can see ourselves in this and understand all the 12 links so that we can liberate ourselves from our own painful feelings, our own cravings, and our own attachment. That's the purpose. So when you understand that purpose, it's easy, and then you don't confuse yourself. You say, why I have to go on this? So anybody, anyone have any question about this? So when we see the cause, then we able to find our way out. Because sometimes we are very vicious in our own suffering. We don't see the way out in our own suffering. Because we don't see the cause. So when you see the cause, you will know, you'll find a way. That's how the Buddha, when he enlightens, he sees the root cause of our own suffering and his own suffering. And when he sees that cause, the root cause of it, that he's able to find the way to liberate the sufferings of the cause. There's another way, but I think this. I just present these two ways. Not this book, but in this article, it's an independent, there's a course on this one, and they present the suffering in the way of in three categories: afflictions, actions, and suffering, in this different article in the book. And I think they have in this website they run the whole series of course, and then you know, from very beginnings to they go through Theravada's teachings, they go through Mahayana teachings, and I think that's way I think I will follow that syllabus. And I think it's nice to go from that, so people who are continually study the Dharma, they have very good foundations, and they study after that, and they study different tradition. They study Theravada tradition, Mahayana tradition, Zen tradition, you know, and mantra tradition, you know, different tradition. Because they have to, after they go all through different courses, teaching of the Buddha, and they have that foundation, so they can go into different tradition and see what is that the main purpose of that tradition. So you understand, for example, if you study Zen tradition or you study Tibetan tradition, might be there's some different, but there is some similarity, essence into that. So you really have the foundation of the practice. Or for example, you go to Pure Land tradition, you see. But if once you understand the teaching, the foundation of the teaching of the Buddha, you have no confusion, you go into different traditions. I must say I studied Pure Land tradition, I studied Zen tradition, I studied Tibetan tradition. But after I see that, nothing different. Because they present in different way. But when you understand, you permeate the essence of the Buddha, the teaching, then you know there's no conflict. And once you are no conflict, then your practice become natural. You doesn't matter what tradition you go into, you create in harmony with that traditions. And you see the beautiful optimism of that tradition, but you don't create affliction in your practice, confusion in your practice. But first you have to understand the basic first, so then you have the foundation, have the really background, and you already have the whole pictures of the Chi of Buddha. And it doesn't matter what kind of tradition you go into, even you go into Christian tradition, you have no conflict. And that's the miracle of the teachings. Like, that's why you see Thay, he can teach from Christian aspect, but bring it into the Buddhism. Because he really roots into the teachings. And he never deviate from the practice of Buddhism. Because everything now has become a practice. It doesn't matter. You can, Sophie, you can say anyone, Sophie? This is one of the teaching, one of the religion, I think, in Indian too. And so you have, even you go into Confucius, you can go into Protestants, no conflict. You can, because you see the essence already. You see the essence of every teaching already. So that's why I try to build up you into from the beginning. See from how to take practice to reach you. So when you're able to permeate the teaching of the three true, you have no conflict, it doesn't matter we bow or not. That's why a lot of some of our Western friends come to Buddhism and they're very allergic to bowing because they are not really truly understand the bowing, because everything is go back to oneself. And once you understand, you remove the barriers of all that. And even you go to Christian church, it's okay to make a cross. It doesn't matter. Because you see the essence of making a cross. So that's why we have to understand all, to go through all the different level of different traditions, from three Jews to conventional teachings, ultimate teachings, and different, many teachings in Buddhism. So, so today we will try to wrap up this, and we go to next, maybe our next topic is the three Dharma seals. And three Dharma seals, we will talk about maybe next class into three or four Dharma seals, and we will talk about that. So, if you have any questions referred to the tolerance, please share with everybody. Everybody who come here to share, I share with you my my understanding. And I think maybe once you study the the tolerance, you have some your own insights. Nobody is the same. That's why we make the world beautiful. In the garden, there is many kind of flower, not one flower. Same thing is very rich to have. Variety of insights. So the garden of enlightenment is very rich. Nobody is the same. Nobody is the same. That's why it's it's unique as a human being, as a Buddha. You know, you're a Buddha on your own field, and you're a Buddha in yourself. So so that's why in Buddhism we say that no God, because everybody is Buddha in your own field, and you be your God. And you have that ability, you have that capacity, and you have that freedom to to make it in your own field. But there is never conflict in Buddhism. When you penetrate, you don't have conflict with other people. Once you penetrate the teaching of the Buddha nature, no conflict, because even though we have variety of Buddha, but no Buddha is conflict other Buddha. No conflicts. But we have to permeate the teaching and experience that ourselves, the ground of Buddha. So any one of you have any questions, we can share now. So my presentation of the traveling is right now, as we conclude here. And next time we'll talk a different topic. I think we spend like 4 or 5 class on this one. And I try to make it in a way that you can practice. Because the purpose we come here is not to learn academically, but to learn the way out of our own suffering. But the crucial point is your applications, not the teaching. If you learn a lot, everything's terminology or list, but you go home and you never contemplate on that. And then as well, do no transformation for you. Just like you just leave the compost as it is, or you know, the flower as it is. So the process is to get some transformation. And the transformation process takes place through contemplating. So that's why we meditate, so that we can contemplate that and digest that. So when we're able to digest the teaching, and the teaching is not become alive, it's not very dead or not very rigid. So that's why it's, once the person is realized, the teaching become alive. But once we are getting stagnant ourselves in our own feeling, then the teaching become dead, because it's still the teaching, this kind of teaching been around 2,500 years, and before the Buddha also. So once any one of you here, once you realize, the teaching will become alive. And you are the next Buddha. and the whole world will benefit. Not only yourself. Just like the Buddha, when he's an Indian man, but he's no longer an Indian man, right? His teachings go everywhere, because he removed himself from, remove the boundaries. So that we can generate, or you can produce the next Buddha. It's important is to produce the Buddha in just yourself, the next Buddha. And if we plant the seed, then the seed one day will be, good plant, good flower. Just like the Buddha when he was very deep down in the health, when he start out. I don't know whether you remember his life story. One day
it's to have respect and love towards your parents and ancestors.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So one day he's not respect his mom, respect his mom, and he tried to do good things, but he not respecting his mom, and he tried to go out on the seas, and pry gold, and then he's greedy, pry gold, and his mom said, it's too dangerous for you to be a sea pirate, to go on the sea and look for gold, for jewelries, for pearls. So his mom not allowed him to go. So he go anyway, and once he don't listen to his mom, and just go anyway, and his mom tried to pull him, try to stay home, and he crossed his mom, step over his mother's head. And because of that, when he passed away, he go into the deep hell. And he said one of violin is the piety. So he went to the hell, and then he see other men, some sending being down here too, in the very deep hell, And he see that hell that man was carrying the big blood, set blood, and with fire on the head. He say, why don't you do it? So I don't do it, why don't you? So. And so when he had that thought, and then the fire automatically fly into his head, and it's so painful, and he give up to the head, and then he give rise to the thought. I say, it's so suffering, it's so painful. May I be here, if anyone have been violated, their mothers or done something to their parents that not cruelty to the parents, if they come here, please they let them go, I will stay here forever, and this because it's too painful. So when he give up to that thought, and then it's transform, the fire on his head transform, and disappear. Because then he give up that. That's where he give rise to bodhicitta, very deep hell. And from that he trend, you know, he move up to different, and slowly he be many lifetime. He go through many lifetime of practicing bodhicitta, bodhisattva vow, to make vows to rescue sentient beings. Many lifetime, many thousand lifetime to go through that. So once we, the purpose I wanted to say is once we plant the seed of bodhicitta, and that seed slowly will keep rise, growing. Many lifetime. So we have to go through the 10 parameter. You know, later we have 10 parameter. You know, 10 way of perfecting, completing our works. 10 parameters, 10 way of practice. That is the bodhisattva way of practice. 10 parameter, 10 practice. So later we'll have time to go through the practice of that. And that is planting the seeds, cultivating the seeds to complete the work of, this is the work, complete the work of transform all this here. Yeah, different actions, but the actions of unconditioned love through all that 10 different ways of perfecting the vow. So every day we do something that we are, which is unconditional, and we plant one seed, and slowly that seed will arise, keep growing. And so the purpose is to transform all this here, to work with this. It's related to this here. So so that's just a little bit of story of the Buddha, life of story of the Buddha. If you go into the canyon, many life of the story of the Buddha. And he had worked in different way, in different forms, sometimes in animals, sometimes tigers. And a tiger can be a bodhisattva, sometimes a cat, sometimes a dog, and many forms he had practiced. But the purpose is to complete his bodhicitta, his vow, so that he can complete his all his works to become the Buddha. Just like Dalai Lama, you see he's recognized for 14 years, 14 times already, but many times more to come. And to continue the vow, the vow to save sentient being. So all his work is on love. You see, you can listen to any of his talk. He talk on love, but unconditioned love. So that is one of the four immeasurable mind. You see that, and the same thing is you can see the work of Thich Nhat Hanh, the same. He have a youth school. He have many charities in Vietnam, you know, for orphans, children who are illiterate, and many. But this, all the work is on love, And to work that, but it's to perfect this here, so that you can transform this. Okay, so I have that a little bit of the sharing of the topics, but this is related topics. So anyone have any questions or anything I would like to say? So today I met one of my professor 10 years ago. I took her class, Critical Thinking and Critical Writing. And see, is the condition, is the right conditions, favorable conditions for me. At that time, I'm very shy. I think my English is not very fluent. But I tried to take the class. It's a really tough class, one of the tough class in school. Critical thinking and critical writing is So we do a lot of Shakespeare, and this is hard for me.
Shakespeare.
She remember everything I do. You know, she just remind me. We do a presentation, we do a sketch on Shakespeare, and I was one of the Shakespeare. She remind me that. And it's very, I think it's, in the Dharma we say that a good friend and good teacher on the path. And, well, favorable conditions. So we see calm and we have, and get up very early, I make spring roll, I make salad, and we have lunch together, and it's very... And she brought two of her sister. And I think we plant good seeds in the good seeds. And that, I think that's one of the conditions that helped me in my to be with you. If I not have with her class, it's helped me to pass many tests, graduate tests, and board exam and everything. And I think that is one of the conditions, one of the seeds that have to grow from my English. And I'm able to speak a few words of English with you, I think is not just have some favorable conditions and some good Dharma teacher, a good teacher. And I think she's a good teacher. She's very critical. And but I'm willing to learn. I say that I'm willing to learn whatever you make corrections. So every time I write and she make corrections, but she like me. I have good thoughts, but sometimes grammar, past, future, present, you know, grammar things stuff. But she really like my paper, and still, and so I plant the seeds. So, and now it's ripening. Slowly, it's ripening. And she said, "Your English now is good." No, not yet. Still need to learn more and to improve. There's always things for improve, and always if we open our hearts, and there's always things to learn, always things to improve. I say, even we can learn from little children, a lot from the children, a lot to be learned. You can learn from them their freshness, their innocence. So that's the character of to enter the Dharma, honesty. So in the children, we have many things to learn from them too. Sometimes we are adults and we are overlooked or underestimate children. But children have a lot to offer us if we are open, because sometimes our ego is too big. That's what happened. And we make many collisions in our life. Collisions. So the Dharma is requiring the open heart. Open heart to contemplate. Open heart to look. Because if you, what happens when your heart is open or closed? You never not... the realm of the Dharma will not permeate you. The word permeate is very good word. Permeate. Slowly, just like you when you walk into the mist. Mm-hmm. Just like you when you walk into the mist, just like Dharma is like that. And, so, if you open our heart to the Dharma, and the Dharma will permeate, and when it permeates, it do the work of transformations. So it's open to learn, open to look, open to receive, and open to accept. But here we're not like open just like blind. We have to have the insight. That's important, the insight. So that's why in Buddhism we have the three training. Sila is the training. Contemplations. Concentration. Sila. Trainings, concentration, and insights. That's three backgrounds of Buddhism. So insight is the leading. No, training is the leading. But the rule is the leading. So it's like the ground. It's like the ground. So you have that. When you have that, you for your own luggage. You have everything. Let's make it as a luggage. So you can carry it out with you. It's in you. But when as you open it. So learn to have the inside but open. Once you have inside, you should be open. Because the inside tell you to open yourself. And remove the resistance. Okay, so I think we're gonna stop here. I can share with you many things. But each time a little bit.